Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Across the Park podcast, and this is more like it. It's Monday, we're in the Pod Cafe studios and Everton have just won. Brilliant, can't ask for more, can you? So yeah, thanks again for tuning in, I'm joined by Colin Flood this week. Millsy sends his apologies, he is going to be away from the podcast for the next week or so. I had a few people at the match actually come up to me yesterday, and it's always nice, by the way, I do appreciate it. And some people come up to you and I feel like they're a bit embarrassed saying, oh, you know, I watched the show and thanks for it. But honestly, it is really nice to get, you know, a little bit of praise from Evertonians. I've had enough criticism down the years, so it's nice when people tell you they enjoy the show. So if you are one of those and you do see me, just let on. Most of the time, unless you've been smashed, I'll always have a go and we'll have a good chat. But thanks to those who come up to me. And again, for those who did ask about Millsy, he is just going to be away for the next week or so. But again, we've got a more than able deputy. And on the note of good Evertonians, check out Arctic Peak. This is made by Colin's son. Yeah, you'll Jose, talk about this. Yeah. Jose, cracking hoodies, cracking caps and proper Evertonian. So get over to Arctic Peak on Instagram. If you're not sure, again, if you can't find it, drop us a message. We'll send you in their direction, but you get 10% off if you quote Across the Park podcast. So thanks again to the lads for sorting them out. And again, on last one on top Evertonians, Globe Heating and Gas, our long-term sponsors, Lee's a massive Evertonian. He had a good night yesterday after the game. So again, thanks for their support. So Colin, we got the victory. We were just talking off air. It was, I had to laugh at Ashley Young's interaction since the dubious decisions, or not dubious decisions, the debatable decisions that were made. He put a post on Twitter, or I don't know if it was Twitter or Instagram, someone sent me a screenshot, and it was a bit of old school music this morning. It was Justin Timberlake, Cry Me a River. Yeah. So he's making light of the fact that obviously Forrest are having a right sulk about this. And just before we go into the game, what do you make of all that?
I mean, look, we felt it all year, so, I think Forrest, obviously, you know, on the basis of those three decisions, will feel hard done by, you know. But, yeah, I'll draw on the fact that we've had probably more than three, you know, across the rest of the season. So it's kind of ironed itself out for me a little bit. I think they were big decisions, but, you know, I think the referee stuck to his guns on the clear and obvious, and I'll go with him, you know. Yesterday, but
what about the statement from Forrest? That is not
just
bizarre,
very unprofessional, that. And I think to have Clattenburg in the stand and some of the comments that's come out from him today, I think that's not helpful for the club itself.
No.
Do you know what I mean? But very, very unprofessional. I was listening to TalkSport this morning. They were having a little discussion around it, and again, they referred back to it about like the unprofessional sort of like viewpoint on it. But it just draws more attention to the issue that, you know, VAR in itself isn't functioning properly, is it? You know, and leaving it to the ref on the on-field is probably, I think we need to revisit that as a football, you know, FA, Premier League, because, like I say, the knock-on effect, which is what all the Forest fans are talking about this morning, is we could get relegated from those decisions, but so could we, guys.
But again, just going back to that briefly, I did say we were not going to talk about too much on off the field stuff, but this kind of is on the field, you know, it's stuff that happens on the pitch. I think the only way that you could argue that getting rid of VAR doesn't lead to those mistakes yesterday is if there's a suggestion, the ref's thinking, I'm not going to make that decision because VAR will tell me if it's wrong, do you know what I mean? So it's that. I guess it's that doubt for the referee, isn't it? Doesn't have to be decisive, does he? He or she doesn't have to be decisive because you're thinking, well, VAR will tell me I've made a mistake, so I'm best not giving it. Because I think if you're the referee, you don't want to give a penalty and then take it away, do you? You'd rather say, I didn't quite see it. But in that case, that's where the dialogue goes on. And you would assume, and they touched on this on Match of the Day last night, you'd assume that with that third one, for example, the conversation would have been going on and the referee must have said, no, I seen that, he got the ball.
Definitely, I kind of agree with you.
But if VAR weren't sure about it, because it's not, You said you thought he got a toe on it. I was sitting in the park ends. I thought from the naked eye he got a toe on it. Fair enough. But if someone in me, yeah, like on the WhatsApp happens, a few lads who were watching it at home said that was a penalty. Mm-hmm. So if that's happening on WhatsApp a few seconds later, that should be happening with the VAR and the referee. Therefore, surely they should have said, have a look at it. It does. That's a strange one. Like, and look, as you said, we've had it the other way. So I'm not throwing more fuel on the fire here. I'm delighted we got the win. And I think they do say, you know, over the course of the season, these things will even themselves out. Yeah. And I think in this case, it has.
Definitely. I think like what you just highlighted there, he let it flow. Let's see what comes from it. And then if it is a clearing, obviously he'll pull it back. Isn't that the system? That's what referees are saying.
It's not the referee's fault, is it?
No, and I guess then, you know, like you're saying, it comes down to, are we using it more effectively enough, you know, as a system? Because again, loads make the comparison with rugby league. I love watching rugby league, the way they make a decision. Everything's talked through.
And the crowds are involved in it,
And there's no anxiety around it because it's clearly being communicated. Mm. There's a bit of a time limit on making the decision. And the off-field referee says, look, we've seen this, and the on-field, and there's a good little process. I can't understand how we still get it that wrong. Is it just football? But I thought he'd done the right thing, letting the decision flow, and then if he needed to, call it back.
I think there was a lot of criticism of the referee before the game because he's had some stinkers against us, and he's been quoted somewhere about saying he enjoys coming to Goodison because the fans always have a go at you, and he kind of laughed at it a little bit, and that kind of gets fans backed up. But I actually thought he had a good game yesterday. I thought he did let the game generally flow, like you say. I thought there was a few times when there's a foul and he played on, brought it back. I thought that was a little bit inconsistent because there was a couple of times where we'd had a player fouled and he hadn't brought it back, and then they'd had a player fouled and he did bring it back. But generally, I thought he had a half decent game.
Yeah, to be honest, for both sides, I think that was a tough game to ref anyway.
It was, without doubt.
There was so much tension in it. I mean, the one pet hate I have, I said the other week with us, with taking throw-ins, was the amount of yardage players steal.
Yeah.
I think in the second
that's
half,
the, that's
early
where
doors.
The linesman should be dealing with that, though, really, for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I just think the referee should just stop it and then go back and just say, look, don't mind you going back a couple of yards, get the linesman in front of him where he can throw it to. Mm. You know, and then it resolves it, doesn't it? But I think... trying to remember the lad, the right back for Forest yesterday,
Williams.
I think he took three throw-ins and it was on the corner flag and he ended up in the edge of our box.
He does that anyway. Like he kind of runs a bit when he's throwing it, do you know what I mean?
Delays steps and then goes another 5 or 10. But the amount of yards he stole with that, and it was just that was probably the only thing that drew out the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. Is like we weren't clever enough to pinch a few yards if he's letting that go. But that's just inconsistency. I thought it was a tough game to ref overall.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think some of the decisions he got were probably more balanced than what we've probably had in the past.
Yeah.
Because he was a bit more, I don't know, probably a bit more fair in like letting things go with certain situations in the game. And he tried to make it flow, but you know, I don't envy the task of a referee, man. No. You know, refereeing in games like that, guys. But I think, like you're saying before, it was a bit of a balanced performance for me in decision making.
Yeah, well, in terms of decision making and balanced performance, what did you make of the performance itself?
Probably we got what we expected from an Everton team at the minute. You know, weren't pretty.
Yeah.
Scoring two goals from outside the box. Can't remember the last time I said I could draw to that.
Shooting, because how many times you'll shoot? Do you know what I mean? Like the amount of times that we're tentative in around the area. And actually in the first half, up to that point, it was the same. We're getting in there and in around the area. And you're like, you know, you've got players there. Harrison, McNeil, obviously we end up seeing. Gomez, all players who are capable of striking a clean ball. I mean, we'll come on to the set pieces in a minute because Gomez has the mare on them. But again, it was great to see, from my point of view, that we did take a few pot shots for a change.
Definitely. I mean, Garnagay, we've probably been waiting since he came. I'd need to finish one of them. You know, and he's had, that's probably one.
I was standing ready to catch it. Yeah. Every single time he blazes it into the stand.
But I think, you know, we got a bit of luck with it because I do feel the keeper should have done better.
He had a long time to see that, didn't he? His footwork, that for me, if he takes a few steps before diving, he cleanly takes it, doesn't he?
Thankfully he didn't, you know, and he got the goal, but... I think, you know, from us, it was just a bit of a scruffy performance overall, you know, but again, you know, even with the added time at the end, it was still a bit edgy for me, the game. I think we saw the game out from about like 80 minutes onwards. Mm. The injuries probably helped a little bit to slow the tempo of the game for Forest, but it's not nice to watch, is it? It's not, not nice on the eye, but I'll take, if you offered me 2-0 before it, I would have snapped your hands off. 1-0 was the one I was looking at.
If we offered, if you offered me being 2-0 up at any point, you know, with this team, I'd have took it. I don't know, a few people have said this to me, like the anxiety. I didn't feel as much yesterday, and I don't know why. I actually thought Forest were awful. Awful. I was expecting a lot from them. You look at that front five they've got, and you're thinking there's some serious talent there. I mean, even Chris Wood's a handful. I thought he was poor yesterday. I thought that both Branthwaite and Tarkowski got the better of him on a number of occasions.
I thought he let us off the hook, especially in the wide areas. He kept checking back, and I was quite happy with
Don't run them,
I was concerned in the first 5 minutes or so, one when I think they got down the left through McNeil and Michalenko, and they broke into the box. I thought, here's the game plan. And when Alanga come on, I thought, he either going to exploit us in the wide areas, but they didn't. And for me, they looked like a very mid-table team, happy to keep possession in the middle. But like you're thinking, you're in a worse predicament.
There was a lack of it. I thought there was a lack of, I wouldn't say urgency. It was just a lack of, you know, I don't think, I think they were very poor defensively. And I think I touched on it before. I thought we let them off the hook early on with some poor deliveries from set plays.
Definitely.
I mean, the opposition podcast that I'd done last week, their guy was saying on Forest Fan TV was saying they're so bad at defending set plays. And you can see why. That Murillo's just doesn't look like a footy player. No. It's like a rugby player. It's stocky. We can't get off the floor.
We were happy to leave them with possession, you know, and try and he had an old midfielder dropping in, but that meant one midfielder out. So it made it easier for us to block it off, you know what I mean? In like with a mid block. But even when we pinched it in my areas, the quality of the decision making from us, I think it was, like you're saying, there was Gomez, I think it was one where Calvert-Lewin.
McNeil a few times.
It's a confidence thing for me. And I wanted to see a little bit more confidence come out of them in them areas at 2-0.
I thought we'd seen a little bit of it when we scored, because I thought we looked very edgy. First 5 minutes, I mean, I admittedly missed the first 5 minutes, but I come in and Marty, who was there, who was sit by, was like, whoa, they look really nervous here. And then we picked up a little bit. I thought there was a lot more. It looked to me like there was a deliberate message from the manager, play faster, 1-2 touch, there was a lot of that. But then that led to, I think, a few times when we were getting the ball and that final pass was rushed. And it's fine, 1-2 touch, but you know yourself, when you get into that final third, it's then the time to go pick your head up, pick the pass. But it was like we tried to carry on with that pinball, and it was just a bit like, you know, just take that care with the final pass.
But that's why where we are, where we are, you know, and I guess that's the same for Forest, isn't it? You know, they are where they are because, you know, they either can't see games out or they're not effective in the right areas. And but look, I think for me, I think we were talking about games and predictions and points, and we both said, you know, do not lose that game. It's got to be a point, you know, we've got to at least get a point. And to come away from it 2-0, I was a little bit anxious myself towards the end because, you know, you just don't know. You know, one wrong decision, one big save, not gone right, like Pickford's save, it's a goal, innit? You know, and I guess yesterday we got lucky a little bit, but, you know, I think when you're looking at the averages, would you have a little bit of luck?
Oh, without doubt. And I think you look at, like, the fact that, all right, they've been denied penalties, they've missed a chance through Woods in the first half, so Pickford's made a great save. Gibbs White's missed a gilt-edged chance at the park end. But again, you go back to it, we've had games where we've had XG of 3 or 4 or something and have only scored one, or we've had XG of 2 and haven't scored any. So I think Forest XG may have been, you know, similar to ours yesterday, but as you say, we've took our chances.
Do you know one thing on Dice yesterday, which he surprised me? He got a substitution right for me.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the timing as well.
I agree.
He spotted it. We were under a bit of pressure.
It's the first time I can actually remember that I weren't saying Make a change.
And to be fair, a bit of a funny one. We picked up, he was in his training kit yesterday. Which is like, you know, it was something different, wasn't it?
Do you know what? I did notice it. I picked up on it, but I kind of didn't think anything of it. But then he literally, after the game, Tarkovsky was talking about when he laughing his head off, going, when he come in the changing room, he said, I looked at Dwight and went, what's the gaffer doing? Is he going to get changed or something later? I don't know. And I listened to Dyche's comments. I don't know if it was a little bit of a back down to earth type thing. Almost, because he said, look, as well as the players, he said, look, I held my hands up. It wasn't good enough. Players held their hands up. I don't know if it was like, look, I'm going to put the track, get dirty with the rest of them, and I'm going to be in my tracksuit and show that. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much of that. But I think maybe there was a suggestion that, look, I'm not too big to be rolling my sleeves up as well.
Oh, and listen, again, I remember Moyes when he first come. He was on the pitch, wasn't he, watching the lads warm up. And love that, don't you? Because he wants to be part of it. He wants to feel it himself and just looked a bit different. Mm. And hopefully it sticks and we keep picking up a few more points.
Yeah, he can put his boots on Wednesday if he wants.
Well, he might need to, But no, I thought, you know, give him his credit. You know, he's seen something in the game and he's made changes early in the game. And I think he needed that because Gomez was dying. His legs, he just seemed to fatigue at the wrong time. And then when Garner come on, I could see there was a little bit more energy with a bit more of a press. You know, we weren't sitting as deep, but I thought, give him credit. He got them right for me. Mm.
Yeah, 100%. And again, just to come back to it, it's a strange one with Gomez because I said his delivery was awful yesterday. I think at times he looked off the pace, off the ball, but there's just some kind of comfort you have when he's in that team in terms of like when the centre back, you know, he's always an option.
Yeah.
And I think the players do really appreciate that. And I think I think Dyche is starting to realise as well, look, just him being on the pitch, even if he doesn't get the ball, he'll draw a man to him because they know he's good enough to turn and play forwards. And the opposition quickly, you know yourself, no matter what level of footy, you know a player within 5 or 10 minutes on the pitch, don't you? You know the way he moves, the way he carries himself, he sees things.
Yeah.
And instantly, if you're on the opposition, you're thinking, I've got to stop him playing. So you stop him playing.
You only have to look at our midfielders. They come in and play the way they're facing. It's so easy, you know. But with him, he plays on the half turn as well. So when he gives you something else to think about, and then their shape had to change a little bit.
Yeah.
When he decided to go forward, which again, it was weird. Beto comes on and he goes off, and I'm thinking,
poor Beto
can't get in with
get
with
someone who can pass the ball.
That can slide him through. Yeah, but obviously, I'm sure you'll mention about Beto and what that really means for him for the next couple of games. But
I don't think he can play.
Yeah, the concussion.
I mean, it doesn't get more concussed than that. It was right, you know, it was right at the park and right bang in front of me where I sit, and I felt sick and the players did, and it was horrible. It was a horrible smash on the head, and he went down like a sack of spuds. Like literally didn't even, obviously when you fall, you're putting your arm out, he just went bang, and it was horrible to see. I mean, obviously he seems like he's okay. He had a little weekend at Bernie's arm come up when he was coming off the pitch.
Yeah, seeing off the kids were shouting that, he's all right. Yeah, and I was give him a few days.
I know, he's going to have a sore head, but I don't think he can be involved in either of those games, to be honest. I think it's 7 days, isn't
it? 7 days, yeah. But look, you know what, it just opens the door for someone else, you know, Schmitty.
Well, do you know what, again, and maybe I'm clutching here because I got a bit of stick for mentioning that. I thought he's done okay. I think it was when he came on at Newcastle and everyone said he done this and he done that. He gave the ball away this many times. Something about him, he's just a bit different. And again, I thought he looked assured when he came on. Mm. Some decent touches. He pulled one up the sky. Was as good a touch as you're going to see from anyone. And look, he's very raw. I get that. But there's a different rawness about him. He's got a bit of quality there.
Mm. But the thing is, we haven't seen him. So it's difficult to judge him, isn't it?
No,
going into an environment that he's had to try and get minutes in games where it's either lost or he's coming on sub as maybe more of an impact. You're trying to get him to do defensive work. He's an attacking player.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a bit, you know, I don't think it's right to judge him, you know, the way maybe some people have, because he hasn't had the same game time as a Calvert-Lewin or a Beto, you know, to see what we can get out of him. And maybe the system he's playing at the minute just doesn't suit his style of play, but we're going to see that because there's a good chance he's going to play Wednesday or he's going to have some impact on Wednesday. And I wouldn't mind seeing him and Louis Warrington being involved on Wednesday, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see Warrington being involved, given the... Again, there's been some games the last few weeks where you're thinking if he doesn't get minutes here, he's got no chance. We'll touch on a few more players that I think yesterday maybe played themselves into the game on Wednesday or played themselves out of the game as well by the lack of involvement. Before we do, just a brief word from our other sponsors, Tick Property Group.
Tick Property Group are your local Liverpool-based estate agents with over 300 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. By selling your home now for an unbeatable offer of £497, your home will be advertised across all major portals, including Rightmove and Zoopla. You will also receive professional photography, floor plans, and a bespoke stylish video tour of your home. So take the stress out of selling and let Tick Property Group be your personal estate agent. Book your free valuation today and quote Across the Park to receive a 10% fee discount.
Thanks a lot to the guys at Tick. And again, we've had loads of messages from our followers, from our subscribers, saying they've used them, and again, if they've had a lot of joy from it. So please check them out if you're looking to sell your property in the coming weeks or months. I just said, Colin, I was going to touch on a few of the players who maybe played themselves into contention on Wednesday, or players that we might be able to rule out. That's our just based on yesterday. One of the players who was noticeable in his absence was Inanna, completely. You know, he didn't play any part in the game. What are your feelings on that situation? I mean, personally, before you come in, I think that Chelsea game might have been the last time he kicks a ball for Everton.
I still think he's got a bit more to play, personally, but I think that's going to be fueled by what happens next. You know, with the club, because obviously the noise is that obviously there's a few suitors who are interested, and I think that's where Dyche has got to spin, you know, a few plates to see what we need still to get over the line, and if that gamble's worth it. But I mean, his performance was poor, wasn't it, against Chelsea, and I think Dyche, the way he picks his team, it's based on a bit of, you know, consistency maybe with some players out of possession, and I think it highlighted the big problem with him out of possession. But again, it's a difficult one, guys, because 1 week to the next, you know, we'll pick a few of them for Wednesday, depending on how we play Wednesday. You'd be a little bit reluctant to pick them Saturday, against Brentford. But I still think he's got a role to play. What type of role? I'm not 100% sure yet. And again, it's a game by game thing for me. And I think probably where you're moving towards with that question is. It's a risk versus reward, isn't it? Scenario with him.
Risk being injury and being the fact that he's one of our most sellable assets. And for me, and this is just my personal opinion, he's one of the most sellable assets who I don't think has an impact on the team that justifies, you know, going out of your way to keep him and putting ourselves in that position financially where we may be struggling again. I don't know. I think that at times, and I'm not saying he's a bad player, by the way, and I think he's a serious talent, but I just think at times that there's players where, and we don't do this enough, we bring them in. Obviously, clearly he's got a lot of ability, and I think a lot of other teams have seen that future ability and the potential. I just don't think he's ever going to realise that at Everton. I don't personally. Under this manager, now, I guess the other question which you were alluding to there, is Dyche going to be in charge next season? If he isn't, then the new manager, whoever that is, should have the chance to run the rule over it, because it's not worse than selling a player like him, and then the new manager comes in, he's looking for a player like him.
I guess that's the question we said the other day about clear direction from above and where we're going. You know, and if he's one of those players that, you know, we want to build a squad of players around, then the answer's already within
Kevin
that.
Kevin Thelwell, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Thelwell question and answer that. But I think for me, you know, we're still a young lad. You know, to have an impact on the remaining games in the season, I still think he's got a role to play, mate. Definitely against a Brentford team and, you know, Sheffield United. Because he's a good player for me, guys, and he can influence games. But again, is he going to learn is he going to project on the level he needs to in the development level that he needs to go down with us? I don't know, is the honest answer, because I still think we're a good few players shy of even what Sean Dyche wants in a squad.
Well, we'll start to move into the derby now kind of naturally. And I think one of the conundrums ahead of Wednesday, further to what we've just said then, is the almost the management of minutes for some of them players. If you've got Garner Guy who seems like he's got endless energy, but you can see in certain games when Garner Guy's leggy, he's useless, because if he can't cover them yards that he does like he's done yesterday. And I thought, for me, he was one of the candidates for man of the match yesterday, because he was just everywhere. He was solid and he was consistent and he was covering them gaps and blocking those lines that I think very few players in our squad tend to do. He's a player against the Liverpool that you want in the team, because he's going to be ratting around. He's going to be making those clever little tackles and clever fouls that you need against, you know, a very combative midfield. So for me, he stays in the team. I don't think you can then play Gomez as well. Gomez, again, if he was looking like yesterday, throw him back in on Wednesday, you're really going to struggle, aren't you? It's only really the best part of 2 days rest that he's going to get. Garner probably means that he comes in. What are your thoughts on? Because the back four pretty much picks itself. I mean, he maybe swaps. How far is Coleman completely out now? Is he?
I'm not too sure on the update. I mean, I personally think he might go with Godfrey, me.
So.
Yeah, at right back. I think so. He's been quite loyal to Ashley Young, but I just think the way Liverpool attack in wide areas as well.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a bit more.
And you really are pushing your luck, aren't you? Given the fact that he could have conceded two or three penalties.
Definitely,
yesterday.
Yeah. And you know, earlier on in the season at Anfield, the two silly ones he got. You know, two yellows straight away. You know, one after the other. He, I think that's probably a lesson to learn.
Yeah,
so I think if Godfrey's available for me, just to tighten up a little bit more. But again, I think with Godfrey, it depends on who's in front of him. You know, support wise. And I'm not sure who the best one is to put in front of him there, but
it might be a one where he uses James Garner. He's used him a few times on that right hand side, hasn't he? And he's played right back on occasions for England under 21s. He has a couple of times for us. Might be one actually tactically where he thinks because he likes his wide players to tuck in anyway, doesn't he?
Make them narrow, and he'll cover well. You know what I mean? Yeah. So off the ball, which is obviously the way he sets up to be hard to break down. Mm. You know, he'll have that work rate off the ball. So I think you'll probably see more of a defensive, you know, mindset, even more than obviously what we've seen lately. And again, I honestly think Calvert-Lewin will get rested for Wednesday. Yeah, I think he will. I think Schmitty will probably start.
You know what? If you take the emotion out of it, it's a sensible decision, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, look, some people saying yesterday next to me, it's a free hit. I was like, it's not a free hit.
No.
You know, when you've got another game coming up, it's like the Chelsea game. You know, I think you know what you're getting off Liverpool, but you didn't off Chelsea. It's a home game. It's an opportunity. It's a derby, you know, to get the crowd on your side, you know, to get a performance in, to prepare for the weekend as well. I wouldn't be by any stretch of the imagination saying play a weekend team or, you know, someone who's struggling for minutes. But it's always going to reshuffle them after that game yesterday. Who's picking Niggles up, who's injured, and then putting, you know, what he feels is the strongest team out to get a result. You know, it's same old, with Everton at home, the crowds are going to have to pull them through it on Wednesday and get behind them. But it's going to have to be that one of those performances, guys, with the players that are in there who are going to want to be committed. You know, tackles will tell you everything in the first 5 or 10 minutes and getting the crowds up and Liverpool's normal way of dealing with them games is keep the ball and frustrate them. You know, the crowd will turn on them and stuff like that. But I think Dyche is hopefully clever enough to know that he's got to get a good balance between, you know, how he wants to play and what players are good enough for the occasion in a derby and how they react to it.
The more you actually talk about it, the more I think that Onana's now going to come back into the team.
Potentially, yeah. But I think with him not coming on, Yesterday was like, that was a bit of a signal to me to say, well, something's not right there, because generally he would have come on, wouldn't he, instead of Gomez?
Yeah.
You know, Garner coming on.
Yeah. I mean, he loves Garner, though. I mean, I wasn't surprised. He does love Garner.
Well, you know, I've been wrong a few weeks, second guessing Dyche, but like I say, it's not a normal environment, is it?
Maybe it is just a case of going back to Onana briefly. It's a case of, listen, son, you're not too good for this team. You'll sit out whenever I say it. And maybe he's just trying to teach him a bit of a lesson.
Yeah.
I think one thing you would say about Onana, you know about him, so he relishes the atmosphere, doesn't he? He loves getting involved with the crowd and stuff like that. And I think he will be well off for that game, I imagine. Yeah. Just because he, again, he's a kid, isn't he? He's a kid. And, you know, you reminded me of that then. He is very young. But, you know, and he's, you know, he's having himself as well. So I think coming into a game against Liverpool, I think he'll puff his chest out. Their midfield's not what it was. I think there's players in their midfield that you can get at, and there's players certainly that he can physically dominate if he's really up for it. So maybe a game to put him alongside Guy, it allows you then to maybe put Garner in there. And if you play Guy, Onana, James Garner and Zakora, you've almost got four centre mids, haven't you?
But again, if he's on the pitch, he's almost, for me, I'd like to see him in that Fellaini role, mate.
I'd love to see him
higher up the pitch, you know. And Zakora dropping in a bit deeper, you know, as a midfielder.
He could always rotate, couldn't he? And you know, that could work. One minute I've said we might not kick a ball, now talked myself into seeing
it. I guess that's the season, isn't it, for us? It's like where you think you're set from one game, it changes to another because they dictate it, the players with the performances they put in. But again, I just think with the derby, it's people will favour Liverpool with form and the way they're playing and stuff like that. But you know as well as I do, Derby's not like that. You know,
I mean, I think there's a lot between our form, if I'm honest.
No, not necessarily. No, I think they've had a few European game losses, haven't they? But like I say, I mean, we just got to use the advantage of a quick start, I think, you know, and getting on the front foot and getting the crowd behind them, you know, again, first tackle, first, you know, things got to go our way, but not ridiculous, because I think the way referees have refed our games, derbies at home in the past, it's, you know, I think the yellow cards have always been dished out early to players, you know, and I think that's probably
that
something.
Tears, that, wouldn't it?
Massively, yeah, because I don't know where we are with cards at the moment for suspensions.
Not just that, it's just the fact that, as you know yourself, a few early yellow cards and the players you're wanting to kind of keep putting the foot in and keep being aggressive, I've got to think, well, could get a second yellow here and it's over for me. Just briefly going back to that right hand side, I've just got a horrible feeling again that he's going to go with Ashley Young on the right side. He seems to have done that so many times when we played like the teams who are, you know, further up the league or whatever. He thinks he wants like two experience, and he always wants two right backs in there. I just really hope he doesn't, you know, because I just think we miss so much, I think, going forwards. I'm not saying James Garner's going to be some marauding winger, but I think he's got a bit more cleverness about him to be able to bring us up the pitch. And I don't know, I just really hope he doesn't play Young and Godfrey. That would just depress the life out of me.
I mean, I'm trying to remember if it was the West Ham game the two of them played. He struggled, didn't he? You know, they didn't know whether to come out, sit in, you know, and I guess that comes back to the fact that, you know, that they don't play enough together in their positions. But I'm probably like you, I'd like to see with James Garner, it'll offer us a little bit more, you know, off the ball as well.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Young will die early in that game against Liverpool. But yeah, I'd be reluctant to play him myself. I'd probably go with Godfrey and Garner, me.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's still a large, because I think the beauty, again, when you're playing the likes of Liverpool, of playing Godfrey and playing Mykhalenko, you almost can become a back five whenever you need to, can't you? Because both of them are comfortable playing as the wide centre-back, Godfrey and Mykhalenko.
Yeah.
And if you've got a McNeil and you've got a Garner, you can almost have a back six if you wanted them, which, you know, for Liverpool, when they've got inverted, you know, forwards, wide forwards, and you've got your full-backs who get involved, you do need that extra cover. Yeah. But I just hope, personnel-wise, he goes with someone else over Ashley Young in that position. Yeah.
Well, when Brantway went down yesterday, that was a big gasp. I'm hoping that he'll be fit and ready. But I mean, someone said to me sitting next to us, you know, if there's a game for him to miss, it's Wednesday. And I was like,
I can never buy into that.
No.
And I know even the people who are saying that, the minute he sits down on Wednesday, he'll be thinking, we can't get snotted by them.
No.
And it'll hurt the players, that, because the players will know that it means so much to the fans. And listen, I just don't think Deitch would score an own goal like that. Do you know what I mean? Pardon the point. I really do think he'll realise, listen, this is not a game that we can go and get snotted like we did against Chelsea. If we did, it'll just...
Yeah, because it'll be backfire.
It'd be his job. I honestly think it'd be his job. I do agree with what you're saying, that we need to be managing the squad at this time. And maybe as a game for Chimiti, there's changes you can make. However, you can't put a team out that's...
I think with that one, what I was alluding to, guys, it's a free hit for some of those players, like Chimiti, you know what I mean? So he's got an opportunity to get the crowd behind him.
In a huge game,
you know,
exactly.
And again, Louis Warrington, you wouldn't lose by putting him in, other than being put out of his depth, because the fans will just get behind him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, but it'll obviously, you know, I think the game, you'll throw them the game out for us, our game plan in the first 10 or 15 minutes, you know, don't concede early, you know, that'll be a disaster, but get the crowd behind you, you know, a couple of tackles, get on the front foot, and I think that'll set the tempo for the fans and the players, me, in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go too much into their side of it, because I will be speaking to Stephen Warnock tomorrow, so the opposition preview will be with Stephen Warnock tomorrow, so that'll be out around 4 p.m. on Tuesday. But it'll be interesting what they do, because he made a few changes yesterday, Klopp, and he took out Nunes, and he took out Salah, some of the big hitters, McAllister as well. I think that was one, a little bit of a, you know, that's not good enough the last few weeks, and you know, trying to shuffle the pack. But two, I also get the feeling he wants them in on Wednesday.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's probably going through a bit of an experience with his squad, isn't he? You know, we'd never have expected them to get beat alone by Atlanta 3-0. No. You know, so he's still even at this stage learning with that squad, isn't he? But again, I've spent long time listening or watching Liverpool in the recent weeks, months, whatever. It's obviously being about us, but I still think we just got to draw back on experience. You know, unfortunately, you know, not the dogs of war attitude, but you know, we've got to create an atmosphere, you know, inside the grounds on Wednesday. And you know, even if we do make early mistakes, get rid of the moans and groans and just get right on the front foot with the players.
So we're going to go back to the situation in the league before we finish, but we're not going to have you on again before the game. So I'm going to ask you for a prediction.
I think it's going to be 1-1. Yeah, I think we'll score, but I don't know whether it'll be before or after Liverpool, because I think they've got a goal in them. But again, I think the game, we'll know what type of performance we're going to get out of them in the first 15 minutes.
So I'm a
1-1 draw.
I'm going to follow with the draw, but I'm going to go 2-2. Again, just briefly back to the point you made then in terms of that we know what type of game it's going to be. One thing I did notice yesterday, and I'm not going all the way back to the Forest game, but I felt as though we had a bit more authority than we have in recent home games. And I don't know if that was a deliberate thing from Dyche to kind of, he keeps talking about changing the script and changing the narrative or whatever, but most home games this season, I feel like we've just been happy to concede possession, allow them to have the ball. I thought we had a bit more of the ball yesterday. And again, I don't know if it's the Gomez impact again, but I just like to see us try and control the game a bit more on Wednesday. I think if we just allow them to have the ball and try and sit back, all we're doing, I think, is delaying the inevitable. I think they've got so much depth in there and so many players like the likes of Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones who can just come off the bench and pull something out of nowhere. I just think it'll be a matter of time before we can see. So really hope we try and make the first move. I think if we can score first, touch wood, I can't see us losing the game. But I think if we allow them to take control, if they get the first goal, it's such a long way back against them. If they score first,
I think it's going to be, we're not going to cut them open. I think we're going to create very little, you know, of good combination play in wide areas. It's the set plays, it's the free kicks, it's the being clever on the free kicks as well, you know, to get them.
Winning
them in the right areas, and, you know, corners and throw-ins in them areas are going to be key. Personally, you know, if Calvert-Lewin's playing, it's get the ball in the box nice and early have someone following it up. But if Chimiti's there, I think, you know, we might have to adapt that, you know, slightly. But it might be more people in the box, you know what I mean, rather than just depending on Calvert-Lewin. But I think we've gone all season, haven't we, where, oh, actually, you know what, we got a bit of quality here in the box today. And then next game, it's been dreadful. So the consistency there, you know, needs to improve, you know, for me.
That's all I'd be doing, honestly, between now and Wednesday. All I'd be doing is, right, how can we get the ball into areas? How can we win fouls? What are the strategies of doing that? And then let's work on some deliveries. Mm-hmm. Let's work on a little bit of variety. Let's make sure that we know what the far post, you know, strategy is. We know what the near post strategy is. We know what, if those two work and how we play short. Just spend 2 days on that. Spend 2 days on it. It could seriously pay.
I don't disagree with you, but I'd like to see the fullbacks getting some more quality. And, you know, because when they're up there, and it's not very often they get up there, quality ain't the best.
I mean, that's, we talk about the fullbacks who are potentially playing, though, Ben Godfrey and Vitaly Michalenko don't screen quality, do they?
They don't, guys, but, you know, they're professional footy players, so there's a level you'd expect to whip across in.
Just put into an area.
And I think that's for me where it's confidence in it, getting in that area and making the right decision. And they just seem to want to play it round and get it to someone who's been practicing them. A few more deep crosses, you know, to give us a chance to support us in midfield. For me, probably getting the ball in early.
That gets your corners as well, because those type of corners, the crosses that come in from that angle, invariably the centre-backs and defenders are still facing their own goal. They have to just put it out.
Unaware
of what's behind
it. We're a bit predictable for me when it gets to McNeil and Harrison. Yeah. You know, it's been delayed that much, like saying the defenders are facing up and it's deep, you know what I mean, and it's not an early cross then. And I just think if we can exploit that a little bit, I think we've got to look at the things that put Liverpool on the back foot.
Yeah,
you know, tackles, you know, early balls, few channel runs, stuff like that.
The balls in the channel is where they're definitely vulnerable.
Because
the fullbacks push high.
Yeah,
there's them balls are on all the time. Just briefly going back to the general complexion now of the league. I mean, it looks a lot more comfortable for us. The game technically on Wednesday is our game in hand, although there are other teams playing. I don't believe Forest and Luton are playing on Wednesday or Thursday. Tuesday or Wednesday. No. So that's effectively our game in hand. But as it stands, we're 5 points ahead of Luton, 4 points ahead of Forest, four goal swing again now on Forest. Mm-hmm. Thankfully. And, you know, considerably better goal difference than Luton. What's your To keep going on Sky, the percentage of us staying up now is 90%.
I'll be honest, guys, I've just not listened to any of it. You've just got to concentrate on yourself.
What's your general feeling now, though? You know, what's your level of comfort?
It's a lot better than what it was before Sunday, let's put it that way. And Luton losing the way they did, that'll knock confidence out of them.
Not to mention they already threw away a 3-goal lead the other week against Bournemouth. It's like, doesn't matter how many they score, they're going to concede more.
I still think there's a few twists and turns, you know, even with the points gap that's there. I think you're probably looking at the other teams to see how they get on before you do, aren't you? So they're not picking points up. You know, it just leaves that bit of breathing space. But that's where I go back to. You just got to concentrate on yourself because everything else is out of your control. You know, and if we concentrate on it game by game or even training session by training session for Dyche, that's where we're going to... That's the be-all and end-all for us.
Game by game is a good point, and Dyche actually made the point in the post-match yesterday, and he said, look, that's 2 wins from 3, 2 clean sheets from 3 games as well, 2 clean sheets at home.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, it's not a bad point, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and if you'd had the choice going into those 3 games, you're going to win 2 of them. Which 2 do you want to win?
Mm.
Those are the 2 you want to win.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's whether you're glass half full or glass half empty.
Yeah. I, funny enough, I had the talk with someone on Saturday. He said, well, if someone offered you 7 points over the next 3 home games, would you take it? I said, absolutely. You know, of course you would. Or would you take 6? I said, absolutely.
I'd take 6.
But again, looking at Ed too much, we've done that over the season. And predicting games, 5 or 6 games down the line, it's great to do that. And they come out with
it's
a
predictor.
It's
always been the opposite, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, look, game by game. But if you were to ask me, you know, how do I feel now compared to what I did Saturday, I'd feel a lot more reassured that we're going to get out of it than what I did before the weekend. Because I actually thought Luton would have beat Brentford. You know, but then I think because we're all down there.
And it's actually changed my level of confidence ahead of the Brentford game now, because they were so, you know, ruthless and clinical and whatever. And they've obviously come off the back of a decent result at Villa as well. They look like a team that are full of confidence away from home, whereas I think a month or two ago they couldn't get a result.
Form changed at the right time for them, I think, and confidence as well.
They've had players back. I think a lot of people forget they've had a lot of injuries, Brentford, like particularly with the midfielders and forwards and stuff. Not to mention Ivan Toney, there's other players they've been missing, Damsgaard and stuff, and Wiss has been in and out. You know, the fact that Maupai's had to play so many minutes for them probably tells you how many players they've been missing.
Mm. Well, I'm glad he's playing minutes for them and those, you know, because that was a disaster with us. But no, I'm feeling fairly more comfortable with it. I wouldn't say confident, but more comfortable with it. But again, you know, it go back to the game by game. If we had the chance to beat Liverpool Wednesday, you're even more like, look, you know, the confidence they're going to go into on Saturday against Brentford. It'd be like, look, if we could get a result against Liverpool and then Brentford.
Isn't it, if you beat Liverpool, it's done. Yeah. I think it's done if you beat Liverpool. Only, I'm not saying if we don't get another point after that. I just think it's done because the level of confidence that'll give the players, you'd be shocked if they didn't get at least another one victory after that. So I think
I guess that's that conversation we're having about would you rest, who would you put in? And
I know, I agree with you. I think it's game by game. And again, even though I'm contradicting what we both believe to be true, that I think Chimiti might play on Wednesday, I also look into the fact he's took him off at 60 minutes-ish, Calvert-Lewin. And he went down before that, but he was only going down to get a strap and changed.
Yeah.
He was fine when he got up. I don't know if he's just thought, I think we can get over the line here, let's take him off.
Yeah.
And again, like you say, I think the timing of the subs yesterday, I think they were spot on. One final, I've lost my train of thought here because I've gone off on the Dominic Calvert-Lewin thing. I wanted to ask you one more thing in relation to the league, but I think it's gone now. Yeah, it's gone. I'll probably remember it as soon as we finish. But yeah, listen, we've got an opposition preview with Stephen Warnock tomorrow. So tune into that. That'll be interesting. I want to speak to him about the whole Ref Watch thing, the Ref Watch show that he normally has today. So I'm sure he'll have some interesting opinions on what happened yesterday at Goodison. But the focus will be mostly on the derby on Wednesday. So again, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you coming in again, Cole. And again, have a good week. It's a massive week again for Everton. We've got 3 points already. If we can get at least another 3 between these 2 games, I think we're close to being home and dry. But again, it's never easy when it comes to Everton. But let's see. Let's go into the week with optimism and let's get in and support the lads over the next couple of games. Up the Toffees.
Up the Toffees.